Good morning.
And welcome to Daylight Savings Time.
We were talking a little bit about that in the high school class. A lot of young kids don't like you. I thought it was just old people like me. But oh, I just wish they'd keep it one way, one or the other, and leave it alone. But such as it is, that's what we'll do, I guess. I have in my biblical literatural arsenal a commentary on the New Testament. It's called The People's New Testament. It's by a man named Barton Johnson. And I don't even know. I've had it for years and years. I'm not even sure where I got it, but I use it. And it's got some things like all the commentaries we have. There are some things you agree with, some things you don't. If you have commentaries, you use them, use more than one. I would say that. Don't use just one. And this is one of them I have, and I agree with a lot of things in there. Some I don't, but I've gone into researching what his beliefs were, and I didn't get too deep into it because I couldn't find a whole lot of information. But he was born in Illinois in the early 19th century, and he graduated from Bethany College in West Virginia. It was founded by Alexander Campbell, and for the most part, I like what he says. There's one statement that he made in this commentary that sticks with me for some reason. I probably couldn't relate any other statement right off the top of my head that's in this commentary other than this one. And he said, a Christian should have a merciful, forgiving spirit. And I've used that statement in other talks, but I didn't really look at it very deeply or haven't given a sermon on it. So I'm going to now, and that statement is, and I think we could all agree with that, a Christian should have a merciful, forgiving spirit. I started in this by looking up spirit in the in Vine's Dictionary, and it's from the Greek pneuma, which is interesting because if you know the verse, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That, by the way, was one of my memory verses as a kid, and I remember it to this day. But the word inspiration there is also from pneuma, and it refers to wind or breath, pneuma or pneuma, wind or breath. If you look in Vine's Dictionary, there's several uses of the word, several explanations. One of them was the sentient element in man that by which he perceives, reflects, feels, and desires. Did y'all got that? I'll read it again. The sentient element in man that by which he perceives, reflects, feels, and desires. Now, I learned a new word when I read that definition, and that word is sentient. I'm not sure I've ever heard it before. I certainly didn't know the definition of it. Don't know that I wanted to particularly. But the word sentient in the dictionary is defined as such. Perceived by the senses. Characterized by sensation. So should we say it's your gut feeling? It's your knee-jerk reaction? The element in man that senses how he perceives, reflects, feels, and desires. The other meaning is simply character. Who you are. What is your knee-jerk reaction? Do you have to stop and think to have a merciful, forgiving spirit? You know, we moved up here from a town of 1,500 people that had one stoplight. And one of the first things that we drove on up here was I-235, the freeway. And I wasn't used to people as a general routine going 20 or 25 miles over the speed limit. And we were out on the freeway. We hadn't been up here very long. We were out on the freeway, and some guy was cutting in and out of traffic and roared past us. He must have been going 100 miles an hour. Now, was my first feeling that of mercy and forgiveness? The word idiot might have come out. I'm not admitting to nothing. But my first feeling wasn't that of mercy and forgiveness. And Shirley sat beside me and she said, how do you know that guy's not rushing somebody to the hospital? And so here we see two opposite ends, don't we? You know, we see mercy, a merciful, forgiving spirit in the statement that maybe they're rushing somebody to the hospital. My first reaction was, well, then why don't they have their emergency lights on? You know, but my first reaction was, that of cynicism, and it was not one of mercy and forgiveness. So what do we do? You know, do we have to think about it to be merciful and forgiving? Or is it our knee jerk or our gut reaction? In Matthew, the 5th chapter, we have the Beatitudes. We all know the Beatitudes. One of the Beatitudes says, blessed are the merciful, for they what? Shall receive mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And in keeping with a merciful and forgiving spirit, we also have in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 14 and 15, which says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we should have a merciful, forgiving spirit. To whom? To whom? Everyone? Everyone. I think we're all in agreement that it's if it's a spirit, if it's in our spirit, it would be to everyone. And this brought to mind a sermon I gave that started out with Cain's statement, am I my brother's keeper? And I got to thinking about brothers, men, everyone. I used to be of the mind that when the Bible spoke of brethren, when the Bible spoke of brothers, it spoke about Christians, fellow Christians. When it spoke about men, it was speaking about all men, non-Christians, Christians alike. But mostly I was under the thought that it was mostly non-Christians. So I got to thinking about who are the brothers, brother, the word brother. And it comes from the Greek Adelphos, A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S, Adelphos. And if you look in Vine's dictionary, you'd be surprised how many meanings there are, how many varied meanings there are for the word brother, the word Adelphos. They include children of the same parent. That's in Matthew 14 and 3, where it talks about Herod and his brother, Philip, uses the word brother. And so it's talking about children of the same parent there. It's talking about, talks about people of the same nationality. Acts 3:27, Romans 9, verses 3 and 4, where it talks about fellow Jews. It refers to people united by a common calling. I'll read that just to be safe here. It says, Revelation 22 and 9, then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So it says, of thy brethren the prophets. The prophets were united in a common calling. So it refers to people, when he uses the word brethren, it can refer to people of a common calling. It refers to disciples in Matthew 23 and 10, and it refers to believers in Matthew 23 and 8. Now there are other verses you could look up. Other things, many more. But all these brothers or brethren are derived from the word Adelphos. And that's the only word there is. There aren't any other Greek words. The Vine's Dictionary has the one word, adelphos, and that encompasses both believers and non-believers in the use of the word brethren. And it was good for me to look into that because it kind of changed my thinking. I had to rethink my thinking on some of that. Because it's not necessarily so that the word brethren or brethren always refers to Christians. Conversely, my feeling was that men, when the Bible used the word men, it generally referred to non-Christians. And if it's in that context, we can see that. But it can also refer to all men. Once again, Matthew 16, 14 and 15 about the trespasses. The scripture says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, your Father won't forgive you. If you look at men, it comes from the word anthropos, A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-S, and it's defined in Vines as the human being, which includes everyone, right? If you forgive men their trespasses, then God will forgive you. Let's go to Galatians 6 and 21. Where it says, and we should probably be familiar with this verse. We've heard it a lot, I've used it before, but it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou shalt be tempted. So it uses both words here, right? It uses the word brethren, and then it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, so who's it referring to? I'm pretty sure that we can see, it says, ye who are spiritual, restore him. I'm pretty sure we can see that brethren is referring to Christians. And then it says, if a man, it doesn't say if a brother, it says if a man be overtaken. So who does that refer to? I think we can probably all see the context here that this man is referring to a Christian. I was talking to a guy at work one time about the once saved, always saved principle. And I quoted this verse and I said, the key here is restore. Restore. If this man, is not a Christian, then what are you putting him back to? Restore means to return to the previous position. Return to the previous or just put back. You see, the scripture says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. Well, if the man, in the once saved, always saved conversation I had, I said, what are you putting him back to? You know, if you're always saved, if you're, you know, once saved, always saved, then what are you putting him back to? And the same idea applies, as to whether we're determining this man to be a Christian or not. If he's not a Christian, what are you putting him back to? You know, return to the previous position. We can all see, I think, from the context of that and from the word restore, that the word man here is also referring to a Christian. So the word man is used in Matthew 6, 13 and 14 to all men, and Christian, to all men, Christian or not. And in Galatians 6, 1, it's the word men is referring to a Christian. So it's not the case that brethren, now maybe generally, I'm not sure, I didn't go and count them all. But it's the word brother or brethren can be used both for non-Christian and Christian, as well as the word men. And as far as merciful, the merciful, forgiving spirit, I'm going to go to Luke 10. The Good Samaritan story here, if I can get there. And this is back in the line with being merciful. And we should know the story of a good Samaritan. I want to read verses 34 and 35 out of that passage. He says, "And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" We are to have a merciful and forgiving spirit. Would we go to that length? Would we? To help this guy, he not only dressed his wounds, pouring oil and wine, but he brought him to an inn and paid for it. Would we be willing to do that? Can you think of anybody who was in this congregation at one time? Does this make you think of anybody? Larry George. I remember Larry George talking about stopping people, stopping along the highway and helping people. He'd do it. I always kind of admired that. I thought that was really great of him to do that. And he did it. He mentioned several times where he'd done that. I admire that. I've told the story one time about having to go in at 2:30 in the morning. We were going to, had a big project in Council Bluffs, and we were going to take the electricity out about half the town. And so it goes out in the media, and there's people are warned about it happening, everything. And we were going to, so I headed up, out toward Urbandale at 2:30 in the morning. I blew a tire right at the East Mixmaster. Well, had one of these things you had to unlock the lock in the bumper to get your little thing in there and ratchet down your tire. Well, it was rusted, and I couldn't get it off. So there I am at about, it's about 1:30, quarter to 2 in the morning, and I'm out there at the East Mixmaster on the side of the interstate, and I can't get my spare down. And I'm thinking about, what am I going to do? Well, within 5 minutes, here comes the highway patrolman, the Altoona City Police, and the highway helper. And somebody had called on their cell phone. We are in the age of cell phones now. We're in the age of 911. So there are other ways, I guess, besides actual physical contact to get people help. So maybe we don't have to, but you still have to admire the person who's merciful enough to stop by the person who is having trouble and help them out. So it's a merciful, forgiving spirit to all men. I know we understand that. I heard you say it out there that it's merciful and forgiving spirit to all men. And the Bible indicates its uses of brothers and men. And I think we can all understand then that we should have a merciful, a knee-jerk and a gut reaction to be merciful and forgiving to all men. Now, the question is, how are you at that? How are we at that? I find myself, as I get older, I find myself leaning more towards skepticism. I don't know if you all are in that same position or not. It'd be a good study, probably, of human nature. But I find myself leaning toward the more skeptical, more cynical approach than I did 30 or 40 years ago. I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's my experiences. I don't know if senility's setting in. That's probably what it is. But I find myself not having to work more on being merciful and forgiving than I ever did. Although, and I would hope most of us would be this way, it's a lot easier to be merciful and forgiving toward the brethren, don't you think, than it is people outside. Even though, yes, I agree, the merciful, forgiving spirit should extend to all. It should be in our spirit. It should be our spirit to do that. And it should apply to all men. But I think we find ourselves mainly, I do anyway, find myself being more merciful and forgiving to those of the body, to those members of the church. But as the years go by and as the age rolls up on me, I even have trouble with that. I don't know about the rest of you, but maybe I know I need to work on it. Maybe we ought to work on it. Maybe we ought to work on this merciful, forgiving spirit. You know, when it comes to us, when it comes to the body, the members of the church, we're told that we should exhort one another, edify one another, be loving to one another, be kind to one another, tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another. You know, these all refer to the church. But if we work on that merciful, forgiving spirit toward those in the church, which, in my opinion, it's easier to do, then don't you think it might pervade into other areas too, such as the men of the world? Maybe we can work toward that merciful, forgiving spirit as a knee-jerk reaction, you know, rather than having to stop and think about it before we have that. I know many of you who in your knee-jerk reaction have a merciful and forgiving spirit. And I admire that. I really do. And as I went through this talk and as I went through this statement, I got to thinking how much I need to work on it. And if you need to work on it, I hope this has kind of stirred something up in you. I don't know if cynicism is a natural thing for everyone. I don't know if everyone has to fight it. I don't know. I don't know human nature that well, but I only know how it works for me. And I remember years ago when I was in my 20s or 30s, I think I was more forgiving than I am now. And it's something I need to work on. We probably all need to, because I think we all agree that we need to have a merciful and forgiving spirit. I think we all agree too that it needs to go out to all. It needs to go out to everyone. You know, that's the catching the flies with what, honey instead of vinegar or something like that. So you have more of an influence on people with a merciful, forgiving spirit, both inside the church and outside the church. Maybe we should work on it. Maybe not. Maybe you're good at it. If you are, more power to you. I admire you. The last point I want to make is it wrong to be more merciful and forgiving in the church towards those in the church than those in the world? Stop and think about that. I can't answer the question. You'll have to answer it for yourself. But I will leave you with this verse, Galatians 6:10. It says, well, I'll read it word for word here. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And then it says, comma, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, let us do good. Let us have a merciful and forgiving spirit to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. We'll offer the gospel invitation now. As is our custom, it's important to be baptized. We read scripture after scripture that tell us the importance of baptism. So we'll offer that opportunity now. If you wish to become baptized, become a member of Christ's body, please come forward. If you have any other need that needs to be addressed before the congregation, please come forward as we sing.